This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In this narration, not only showing us how important the parents are, but how easy it is to understand how to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and likewise how to anger Him. And there's also a very important point of aqidah in this hadith, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Himself. And you know, part of the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that we do not attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anything from ourselves. We only describe Him, Azza wa Jal, with what He Himself describes Himself. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes Him. And this is the position of Ahlul Sunnah. And this is very important, because the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Abdullah bin Umar, and as we know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the pleasure of Allah is in the obeying and the pleasure of the parents. But the anger, the sakhat, which is like ghadab, which is the anger of Allah, is likewise in angering the parents. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been described with ghadab, anger, and pleasure, okay? Yani his happiness almost, okay? His satisfaction, his pleasure with something. Now these characteristics, in the early times of Islamic history, when the sects started to develop in Islam and Islam started to split up into groups and so on, many of these groups did so based upon the understanding of these attributes and the names and these aqidah issues, all right? And this is very important for those who try to safeguard the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah today, because these sects have continued until today, understanding the attributes in a way that they understood it to be. And there's flaws, and we can see, for example, the Jahmiyyah, okay, a movement that was started by Jahm ibn Safwan. Now this is a movement that were concerned, all right, and often these groups and these movements, they start off with people who are sincere in general about trying to preserve their aqidah, okay, or to trying to protect their izzah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this group, led by this person, Jahm ibn Safwan, they almost tried to propagate the idea. And when I say tried to propagate the idea, I mean there was a time of stability in the Islamic thought when the Salaf, and the Salaf refers to the Sahaba and those who followed them, the Tabi'een, and then those who followed them, the Atba' Tabi'een. The first 200-300 years, effectively, let's say 200 years, was pretty solid and safe and stable at the time of the Imams and the development of the key principles of Islamic fiqh and aqidah. But then, when Islam started to spread out and the borders started to increase and the different indigenous people started to be introduced and so on and come in, we find that in the introduction of such things such as Greek philosophy and ideas of rationale and logic, once that started to take place and take shape in the minds of the Muslims, we found that they, not only in their attempt to try and refute that and protect their aqidah, but at the same time, they took on some of these ideas. It obviously colored their mind. Just like today, just like our Islam today, it is very much colored by our exposure to the society and the people and the academics and the scientific mind. And that's why sometimes when we look at the Quran and so on, if our iman is weak, then we start to have these doubts about when we look at something and it seems to be scientifically non-true. And that's because we've been brought up in that kind of environment. And so it obviously affects. And so one of the effects that happened to the people like Jahm ibn Safwan and the Jahmiyyah group is that they said that, hold on, if you are going to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has anger, then you are trying to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like someone or something that has attributes, that he is murakkab, that he is composed of a self and a body. And therefore, if you're going to say that, then you're going to attribute that to him. And you can't do that because that's making tashbih. You are being anthropomorphic. You are trying to give a body to Allah. You're trying to humanize him. This was their kind of rationale. And it was a very deviant way of thinking. A great intention, maybe. but it was something which only the people of Rashidun and Deviants actually started to propagate. Because there was no need for that to happen. What's the basis for this, by the way? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing unto like Him. There can be nothing that can be compared to Allah. But He is السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. He is the all-hearing, He is the all-seeing. Okay? And so people trying to protect this principle, trying to maintain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His purity, would you know, be worried if someone is saying that Allah gets angry. Hold on, are you trying to say that this Allah is trying to get angry like we get angry? Are you trying to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets happy like we get happy? You're humanizing Him. You're making the mistake that the Christians did. You're doing this. You see this kind of thought. And so with this, what did they do? They said, you can't do that. And so they denied the attributes. They denied the attributes totally. And so they said, Allah, you cannot say that about anger, and you can't say that about happiness. And so therefore they would deny the narration. And this is the sunnah, of course. This is the sunnah, of course, authenticated from the Prophet ﷺ. And so they would say, this hadith is unacceptable. It goes against the principles of our aqidah. Okay? And then other groups did things similar, such as the Mu'tazila, the rationalists. Okay? They would do something very similar. They would look and compare the ideas that they were being propagated or even told to them in hadith, and they would think about it. They would يُقَدَّمُ الْعَقَلَ النَّقَلِ. The aql would come before the naql. They would use their intellect before the text. They look at the text and they say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets angry. How can that be? Anger is something which is so imperfect, so limited. You know, and so therefore they would say, no, that can't be the case. And so some of them would deny, and some of them would make ta'wil. Ta'wil means to reinterpret it and say, actually, his anger is not like this. Actually, it's his intention to become angry and not the actual real anger itself. And it starts to get really mixed up with playing around with the sifat, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was also then propagated by the Asha'ira, who then also started to make ta'wil of certain attributes. And then some of them started to make tafwil. Tafwil is to say that actually, this has no meaning. Tafweed means to relegate something. So they would relegate the meaning to Allah. They say that the Prophet ﷺ, that he says that he has anger, he has sakhat, then only God knows what that means. Literally. We have no idea what that means. We cannot understand what sakhat means, because how are you able to interpret anger? How do you understand anger in relation to God? Let's not deny it. Okay, it's been, they were a lot closer to Ahlul Sunnah. They would say, no, we can't deny it because it's there in the hadith. We've authenticated the hadith. It's definitely a statement of the Prophet ﷺ. But we don't understand that, let's leave the meaning to Allah. So therefore, what's the problem with that? They're making the anger like the same as mercy, like the same as love, like the same as his punishment. They're not giving it a meaning. They're just saying it has no meaning. We cannot possibly think of anything. So then Ahlul Sunnah said, so what was the point of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then describing Himself in this way? Why then did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then compare the anger and say that the anger of your Lord is in the anger of the parents? There has to be a meaning to it. And so now you can come closer to Ahlul Sunnah's position. And Ahlul Sunnah say to the rest of these sects, and they said from the beginning and they say it now, they stick to the way of the Sahaba. Don't put your head between a rock and a hard place for nothing. Why are you causing yourself such problems for? But look, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, and let's just accept it. You know what ghadab means, I know what ghadab means. You know what sakhat means, I know what sakhat means. Let's not go into it and try to understand the kayfiyah and the exact nature of that. We understand what anger is, but we are not able to appreciate the exact nature of Allah's anger. But we know that He has anger, and we know that He is pleased. And we know, and this continues, this is just the two characteristics from this hadith. We know that he is astonished, as the Prophet ﷺ explains some hadith. And we know that sometimes he acts out of shyness. Now we can't understand this shyness compared to our understanding of shyness. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing unto like him. And he is السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. So you have to remember this principle, overriding the understanding of Ahlul Sunnah. We don't want to apply our understanding, our imperfection of the ideas of anger and attributes upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can see that the Asha'ira, they were saying, for example, hold on, how can you attribute the principles of anger? And what is anger? Anger is rage, and your blood starts to boil, and so on and so on. How can you say that Allah, his blood boils, and so on and so on? Ahlul Sunnah said, why are you attributing our understanding of the consequences of anger to Allah. This is illogical and has no basis, and there's no need for you to do that. Because we are, the Asha'ira were told, they are effectively putting their understanding of the consequences of human anger upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can see, you can automatically, the area of aqidah is very delicate, very sensitive. And that's why Ahl Sunnah followed a very, very beautiful way, a very safe way. They said that the way of aqidah should be the way of the Salaf, i.e. the way of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, Atba' Tabi'een, who didn't delve into the kayfiyah, who didn't delve into the exact workings of these asma wa sifat, these names of Allah and His attributes, but rather they affirmed them. We affirmed them. If the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like this, then we say Alhamdulillah, we accept it like that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself like so in the Qur'an, and then that is the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.